Hi, I'm Angie Boydston, preschool children's consultant, and you are listening to a Mississippi Baptist Convention Board production.
All right, thank you for listening today to Mississippi Baptist Around the Table podcast. My name is Tanner Cade, alongside Brother John Martin. How are you, John?
I'm doing well today.
That's good. I'm glad you're doing well today, sir.
Absolutely.
Start of May. Here we go.
It is, no doubt. Glad to have with us today our guest, Mike Tyson. Not that Mike Tyson, a different Mike Tyson, is going to share with us today about all things executive committee and also some things about his life and Mississippi Baptist life. So glad to have you, Mike. Glad
thank you.
Spend some time with us today after a day's worth of executive committee meeting.
Yep. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And one thought just right off the top of the bat, while we wanted to bring you to the table today, you do serve as chair of the executive committee, but you are not a pastor. You're a lay leader at First Baptist Picayune. And I thought that was that's a really unique thing. Some people don't think about that all the time. I've been informed by our great executive assistant, Maria Teal, that the last time this happened was 2019, actually. Mm-hmm. Bobby Kirk served in that role as a lay leader.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And now you are fulfilling that here in 2024. I guess technically it started late fall, 2023, and so it's an honor to have you in that role. And so today, while you were in the building for executive committee meetings, thought we'd bring you to the table in this podcast. But first, I want folks to just hear about your family, where you grew up a little bit, and just a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm from Jackson originally. Went to Provine High School. Mm-hmm. All my father's family's from the Mississippi Delta. But they had migrated to Jackson, and we moved back and forth a good bit between Bovina, Mississippi, if you know where that is.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, between Vicksburg and Jackson, and we lived over there some in Jackson. And even after we came back to Jackson, I continued through high school to go back and forth to Bovina all the time because my uncle owned a business there, and I worked for him.
Okay.
And then... Went to Hines, played football at Hines Junior College, and then because of that, I got interested in the criminal justice program and then went to USM. I have two daughters. One's married to a pastor. He's at a church in Lake Jackson, Texas. His name is Chad Poe, but he does a lot of traveling. He does Centrifuge, CentriKids. That's how my daughter met him. She was a camp counselor at Mississippi College for Centrifuge, and he was a camp pastor.
Yeah.
So they dated long distance for a year, and then they were both going to work Centrifuge again, and they asked to be placed at the same camp, and Lifeway told them, only if you're married.
Right.
So we married them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, sent them back to camp.
Yeah, and they left on their honeymoon at camp.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And then my other daughter's a midwife in Virginia. Her and her husband have two children. Chad and Hope have four. And so I have six grandchildren.
Yeah.
And then my wife, Susan, we're empty nesters now, and I love it. It's great.
Good. Well, our first connection together, I guess, was on the Camps and Conferences Committee, working together in that respect. But over time, we've also connected through the law enforcement side as the men's ministry department handled the chaplaincy for that. And obviously, you have a heart for that area. I know that's kind of that's been your work history. And you've had some unique experiences and jobs along the way in law enforcement. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I had 36 years in law enforcement. I started in 1978 with the Mississippi Bureau of Narcotics. Actually, I was doing an internship with the Bureau of Narcotics when they had an academy open up. So while I was still at USM doing my internship, I went into the MBN Academy. Mm-hmm. And so I was with MBN 9 years. I was a lieutenant in charge of the Hattiesburg District for a while, and then I moved to Greenwood and was a lieutenant in charge of Greenwood District, and then opportunity came up to go with a federal agency. They had a big hiring push, and so I applied and hired on with United States Customs Service, working mostly drugs. Because of my background, I tell everybody I had a real non-traditional law enforcement career. I never wore a uniform. I was always in investigations, and which was not the best way to do it, but that's just the way it happened for me. And so I had undercover experience with MBN, and I had supervisory experience. So I was a marked man when I walked in at U.S. Customs because Customs works smuggling. And so I ended up doing a good bit of undercover for U.S. Customs and storefront undercover operations, stuff like that, and contracting with bad guys, bringing loads. The first load I was ever involved in, we took a boat and went always in international waters off the coast of Colombia and picked up 6.5 tons of marijuana. And then from that, when we would come back, whoever came to pick it up, then we would make arrest. But it started conspiracy cases where we could follow that hierarchy, you know, to work complex conspiracy cases. And then I stayed there, and when they formed Homeland Security, customs agents and INS agents were combined and became ICE. So I was an ICE agent until I retired and rehired 2 weeks later with Department of Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General and worked about 4 years there. So so I do have a heart for the chaplain for law enforcement.
And Mississippi Baptist, a little side note, Mississippi Baptist has had a great relationship with the Department of Public Safety over the last year or so, and really seeing some really neat stuff. Doing some really neat stuff in that area. So appreciate your heart for that.
I feel like I need to straighten up next to you guys. You both went to USM, have a degree in criminal justice.
He actually did it, though. I was just playing.
You're just playing around trying to figure out what life was. Well, what's really interesting is walking into the executive committee meeting or seeing you today in the meeting, there's a notebook by you, and it's a camouflage notebook. So that kind of speaks to some of your background a little bit. But how did you find yourself in the Picayune area, in the Pearl River County?
Well, I, initially, when I went to work for U.S. Customs, I was assigned to Belchase Naval Air Station in the U.S. Customs Air Unit. And what the air unit does, it's a tactical unit. And I'm not a pilot, but I was assigned to the aircraft. We had Citations, we had Blackhawks, we had Mike model helicopters, Navajos, King Airs. And what we would do is if a target was picked up entering the United States that was not on a flight plan, we would scramble aircraft, and then we would greet them wherever they landed.
That's a good way to put it.
Greet them.
So we would chase them down, and that was pretty unique because once we got them locked in on radar, I operated a FLIR system and a F-16 radar. And so we would be vectored to a target, and I'm in the back of the Citation operating that equipment. And then the pilots, once we would get locked on and get in trail, then I would hand the equipment off to the pilot because he's right there. He's got the equipment up forward too. And then we would do – you'd have to ID them. And so we would be in trail – tucked under an aircraft with our aircraft to read the N number. I could, the first ID pass is what we called it that I ever did. The pilot said, hey, you got a flashlight? And we would chase the plane. He was so low over the Gulf of Mexico, he was leaving a wake in the water.
Oh, wow.
And then what he would do, he ran in close to Mobile and then popped up like he was just flying VFR traffic, you know? And he, so when we called him, we flew up under him to do the ID pass, and the pilot said, you got a flashlight? And I said, yeah. He said, come up to the window. So I went right behind the pilots where the window was, and he said, when I tell you, turn that flashlight on. It was a little bitty 2 AA battery flashlight like this. And when he said, turn it on, I turned it on, and I'm about 6 feet from this guy's end number on the other aircraft.
Yeah.
And I read the end number off. And that way we could run it through our databases and find out.
That's wild.
Yeah. But, they don't have rearview mirrors in aircraft.
So he
doesn't even know that we're there.
Oh, wow.
And so once we do the ID pass, then we would back up and trail and then just follow wherever he went. And if I was on a Black Hawk helicopter, the Black Hawks would come in trail, and the Citations would be updating us, telling us where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would land behind him because the Citation couldn't land at all airports. It was too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And we would bring the Black Hawks in, and we would greet them.
I just need to pause for a second. I love this podcast. Yeah. We get to talk to so many people around the state of Mississippi, and this might be the most interesting conversation we've ever gotten into at the table.
So, I guess the next question is, how has that prepared you to lead the executive committee?
Well,
I love it.
It has prepared me.
It has prepared me.
Yeah, because I tell a lot of people that I'm the only layperson there.
That's right.
You know, in that room, I'm the only layperson. God knew I had 36 years of toting a gun and telling people what to do and what not to do.
That's right.
And I don't know why. As a matter of fact, when they voted that day, I went straight to my truck to go home, and the first thing I did was call my pastor.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, Tony, what
have they done?
Yeah. What is this? I'm in a room with all these PhDs and doctors and reverends and it's been one of the most rewarding experiences of my life. I love it. I love serving on the 100-member board.
Mm-hmm.
And because in Baptist life, sometimes it takes a while to get things done.
It does.
And I have felt like since I've been here, I see things happening.
Yeah.
And I know things are happening.
That's right.
And I have really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it is a great perspective to see the work that's going on. And we appreciate you being willing to serve. And so are you in your second term?
Yes.
On the 100-member board? And so
I'm in my sixth year.
Okay, you're in your sixth year.
So I rotate off.
Yeah. Well, good. But thank you for serving. And I know also beyond serving as executive committee chair, you have formally chaired the Camps and Conferences Committee as well.
That's correct.
Because you have a heart for that.
I have a heart for that, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
My church, First Picayune, has been going to California every summer for 30-something years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going personally for 20-something years.
Yeah.
And we go out there to a Baptist camp in the mountains, and we do construction projects.
Yeah, yeah.
And we built relationships with those people, and we just love going and working. Both my daughters worked summers out there.
Mm.
Several of our church members have children that have worked summers out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have taken care of our children,
mm-hmm.
and they now we've got third generation. My grandchildren, my two oldest ones, went last year with us.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They're going back with us this summer.
Yeah, yeah.
This summer, we're going for 2 weeks, and they have not been able to hire enough summer staff for their camps.
Hmm.
So what we do now is we work two of the centrifuge camps,
mm-hmm.
right at 500 students in each camp.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And we get up, we eat our breakfast real quick, and we wash dishes for 500 kids plus staff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we go do construction projects.
Wow, yeah.
And then we come back at supper, and we eat real quick, and then we go to the kitchen, and we wash dishes for 500 plus.
Yeah.
And it's great, you know.
Yeah.
The women, our wives started going with us several years ago. And so the women work in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and then the guys, we're all in the – but it's a big setup. System they have, we wash all the dishes and put them on dry.
You're not hand
wraps.
Washing them.
No.
Yeah,
we scrape them.
That's right.
And so because of that experience with camps, when I came onto the 100-member board, you get to choose
mm-hmm. –
your top three things you'd like to do here, and camps was my number one, and I got it.
Yeah, That's awesome. I appreciate your helping.
And you know, I just feel like camps is where it's at. You know, mm-hmm. kids, you know, the camp in California, Jeunesse Park is the mm-hmm. name of it. The California Baptist Association sold it to a church in Berkeley, California, a big, mm-hmm. big church, because their whole ministry shoots at college students. They have satellite campuses on 11 colleges in the United States.
Yeah.
And they're real high tech, and they Zoom stuff and have mm-hmm. speakers. As a matter of fact, when they first came to Jeunesse Park, they took the boom truck that we used to go up trees and stuff, and they put an antenna on that boom as high as they could get it, and they were hooking up to Elon Musk's satellite link.
Yeah.
And but they have allowed the camp director and the camp maintenance guy to continue to have the centrifuge camps.
Oh, yeah. Good.
And it's just, I think that's where, and their whole purpose is to get them where there's no cell service almost at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they can get them by themselves, and they can minister to them. And that's what our two camps can do.
That's right.
You know,
we get
them out there, we get them away from. Yeah, all those distractions, and can talk to them.
Yeah, and there's no doubt lots of salvations and call to ministries and mountaintop experiences, which are so good for all of our lives, are experienced every summer at our camps.
One of my daughters loves to tell it that one of the summers she was working there, if you do the turnaround on the camp, you know, this group is leaving,
mm-hmm.
and another group's coming in, so you got to get everything ready. And so she would be scrubbing toilets mm-hmm. while they're loading luggage on the buses to leave camp.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody that made a profession of faith at that camp, they line them up before they leave on the buses, and they ring the bell.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
a big, huge mm-hmm. bell out in the center of camp.
Yeah,
And she has said that, you know, you're scrubbing toilets, and then you hear the bell ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty
good. It means something.
That's great. That's good. So the executive committee, y'all met today, and that happens various times throughout the year. And just, I think this is good just housekeeping for all of us to hear. So everybody knows in Mississippi Baptist life, just our structure of how we do business, the convention actually meets 2 days out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's in October. It'll happen again this October at First Baptist Jackson. And that's very important for all messengers to show up. You get to vote then. Budget's always placed before us, and various other business things, as well as other encouraging facts about ministry in Mississippi. And then when the convention's not happening, we have the 100-member board who will meet and make decisions. But when the board—
And they meet 4 times a year.
They meet 4 times a year. And correct me also if I say this wrong, John, but the executive committee, like today, met— it's about 16 folks and mm-hmm. came together. We'll make those decisions when the board isn't available to meet, and they'll make the critical decisions, which normally deal with some personnel decisions,
policies.
Yeah.
And so the convention elects the 100-member board, and the 100-member board elects the executive committee.
Right.
And the executive committee elects their officers, so it all starts back with those 2 days at the convention.
That's right. So, every piece of the puzzle is very important. That's why we always push you, as you're listening, as a messenger probably, to be attentive and engage in the convention during October. But you serve as the chairman of the executive committee. What do you really handle? What are your responsibilities on that committee, would you say?
Well, really, I'm charged with conducting the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
They call us in. We're kind of like an ad hoc personnel committee for the Mississippi Baptist Convention,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
we handle financial issues. We'll vote on that because, you know, to get the 100-member board together would be it's a task.
Right. Yeah.
And so we come in and vote on those items, you know, mm-hmm. any personnel actions and any significant financial things. If it gets too much, then we'll take it to the 100-member board. But
that's right.
We handle the business of the Mississippi Baptist Convention in between that 100-member board meeting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you try to keep all the pastors in line?
That's right. What I do, yeah.
That's literally what you're doing.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
A little order in the house. Yeah. I will say, though, the spirit in the room today, it was a blessing just to see that. There was more laughter and conversation beforehand and after.
Yeah, yeah.
I really just enjoyed seeing today.
Oh, it's great.
It's been like that before, but today just seemed to feel different.
Yeah. You know, some people have trouble with church members, with their pastors. I just love my pastor. I've loved every pastor I've ever had.
Good.
I'm telling you. Yeah. If you just think about it for a minute, that's a called man of God. If you believe that pastors are called, and I do, one of the most faith-affirming things I've ever done was serve on the pastor search committee that called, well, I say called, God called him, that called our current pastor at First Picayune, Tony Lambert. Mm-hmm. And we went 14, 15 months reading resumes, interviewing people, everything we could do. Luckily, the Reverend R.T. Buckley, who served 30-something years in Bangladesh on a mission field, was our chair. Mm. And RT just kept pointing us to, we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to find him. You know, and then it just opened up.
Yeah, yeah.
Tony Lambert has never put out an application in his life or a resume. Mm-hmm. And the only way we found him was one of our Gideons was in Hattiesburg doing a Gideon presentation, and he told that pastor, you know, we can't find a pastor. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been looking and looking, and that Gideon was our prayer warrior for the pastor search team. And he asked this pastor in Hattiesburg, you know anybody we ought to talk to? And he said, I don't know anybody's looking, but I know somebody I'll ask. Mm-hmm. You know, just – and so he called – that pastor called Tony Lambert. And Tony said, I'm not looking to go anywhere. I can look out my office and see the mountains, snow-covered mountains. I can go down in the basement of the church and get on my Indian motorcycle and ride into the mountains. Yeah. And you just wouldn't believe. R.T. Buckley kept saying, somebody needs to be writing this down. Somebody needs to be – nobody's going to believe us.
Yeah,
and God called Tony.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And so for you to somebody to have a problem with a called man of God, and all these men that I sit in that room with are called men of God, and they've dedicated their lives to that.
Yeah,
and
it's just – I certainly appreciate your heart on that. Appreciate your service, too, to the executive committee. Because like Tanner said when we started – it is so refreshing to have lay leaders in the room, and even Mississippi Baptist. I know it hasn't been that way, my goodness, for a couple of decades, I guess now. But there's a position for lay leadership, president of the convention, throughout, you know, and we've had that before, you know, and it just adds a different and needed perspective, I think, that is valuable for all of us. So thank you for serving on the Camps and Conferences Committee and also on the Executive Committee and the 100-member board. We appreciate you. Appreciate your time today.
Yep. Well,
yeah, this has been good.
Yeah. The only other thing I want to say is anybody that listens to this, get ready because camps in Mississippi are coming to the present day. We're spending money and we're getting them upgraded and they're going to be the places for Mississippi churches.
Yep. That's right.
Every church you talk to goes somewhere else for camp. Hey, we're getting them in the shape that they're going to come to Mississippi.
I was talking to a church the other day, and they were lamenting because they were paying $475 a kid to go to camp, and you know, I said, well, you know, you could have paid $175 if you should go on the Mississippi Baptist. Yeah. How are y'all able to do that? Well, CP supplemented, you know, Margaret Mackey supplemented. So you're exactly right. Some exciting things happening at our camps. Both camps are undergoing some renovations and more changes to come, too. I think it's going to be really good, really helpful for us.
That's good. Well, thanks, Mike, so much for your time. Really do appreciate it. I know you've had a long day, and now you have to drive back to pick you. So thanks for your time, brother.
No problem. Thank you for asking.